afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, March 6th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
Well, it sure has been lots of things to talk about today, and of course we'll be talking about Mr. Trump. He signs a new executive order today, and we'll be talking about some layoffs, some job gains, job creations, and some interesting ones, and a whole bunch of other things, so make sure you stay tuned as I go into the market report today. You have the gold today, a little pressure on gold today, down currently in the New York spot price after market, 860 for gold to the downside at 1226.70. Silver was down 20 cents today at 1785. Platinum was down 20 at 981. And palladium was down $1 at 776. The USDX today was higher 0.32 at 101.66. Crude oil was down 11 at 53.22. That's 0.11 at 53.22. And the paper markets today, we have the Dow, some pressure on the Dow. The low of the day was down 93 points, came down basically 50 points. 20,051 as these, 3 minutes after the markets are closed, we're still getting updated numbers, and that shouldn't happen. But hey, who cares? It's a rigged market anyway. The Dow is down 51 points, 20,954. The NASDAQ was down 21, 5,849. The S&P was down 7.79 at 23.75. The 10-year yield holding at 2.49%. And the euro, of course, was down as much as the dollar at 106, down 0.39. So, pressure on gold, and, everybody's just waiting for the axe to fall on the paper markets, because they all know the paper markets are all so overvalued, and everyone knows it can't be sustained. So, except those that are going in now thinking it's a great deal and it's going to 30,000, they're the only ones that are cheerleading the stock market, and those who make money off of it. But anybody with a lick of sense knows that the Dow and the other markets are not destined to stay at these higher levels. Prior to the program, Al and I were talking about Mr. Trump and his release that, Trump Towers was wiretapped by Obama. And, of course, that was, the news from Saturday morning at 6:45 till through today. And I'm sure they're still talking about it, but...
Well, they're going to have to talk about this until this is completely resolved, because as we were saying earlier before the program began, somebody's crazy. Either Trump is crazy to make false allegations about being wiretapped when it didn't happen, or Obama is crazy, assuming he's the one who's really responsible. If there really was wiretapping, somebody's got to be crazy to think they can wiretap the President of the United States and get away with it. Somebody's nutty here, and they took an extraordinary risk, or they've fabricated an extraordinary falsehood, or perhaps a mistake, but somebody is off the beam, and until we figure out who that is, this is going to probably stay a live story.
Well, watching the news reports over the weekend, you kind of get both sides, and you really, I think it's a true story. I'm not sure to the extent of it, whether it was, his private residence, whose quarters exactly and so forth. I mean, there have been several people in the news programs this weekend actually saying that, yes, if you go to the special court, they will do the warrant for the wiretapping and so forth. But it does not come from the president. It cannot come from the president. So, and of course that doesn't mean it wasn't. You just have somebody else taking the blame for it. But so I don't know. It's
well, it's one of those things. Who's bugging Trump?
Who?
That's what.
Yep.
was planting bugs on your old president while you were out planting bugs. Silly song, I guess. But
really?
But the point is, how does he know it's Obama? I don't doubt that bugs can be there, right? But how does he know it's Obama? Did Obama say, did he sign his name to the bugs? And he says, this bug has been brought to you by Barack Hussein Obama. 43rd president, I think that's what he was. Did he sign the bug or something like that? Or how do we know? I mean, somebody might be, could be bugged by the CIA, the NSA, the Russians, the Canadians, the Mexicans, the Muslims. You know, there's a lot of people. It could be CNN that's bugging him. How do they know it's Obama?
Well, CNN is bugging him, but in a different manner.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, and that's why if he knows, I don't understand why he wouldn't come out and say, and have a little more detail, but I agree.
We had a couple of people that are credible who think there's enough evidence to say, yeah, this has really happened. But again,
I think it happened.
Where's the evidence?
We need the evidence and a little more details on exactly what it was.
But it really is an extraordinary story if true. Because it means that a man who was just removed from the White House is spying on the new president of the United States. A former president of the United States spying on the new president of the United States? I mean, what is that if not evidence of the basis of some kind of a war going on? Right? You know, Barack Obama should content himself with writing books and making speaking engagements and the rest of that sort of thing. What's he doing, if he is doing this, what is he doing spying on Trump?
Well, this was prior.
This
was prior to Trump taking office back into, you know, July, this summer. But still, it doesn't lessen the charges and so forth. But and up through November, I guess. Not sure when supposedly they actually stopped because there's no information. And again, you know, it's going to be very difficult to prove it was Obama. But yet to say that that didn't happen, the wiretaps didn't happen. I'm sure they did. But as you said, we definitely need some sort of confirmation and a little more details. And
I don't know if we'll ever get it.
Well,
except, you know, the problem you've got is, said it on this program a number of times, there is no secrecy in the internet age. You can't count on hiding anything, all right? And you would think that a man in the White House would know that. And meaning that Barack had no business. I mean, he's got to be crazy. This is going to come out. And presumably, he was spying on Trump at the time you were talking about it. Presumably, I mean, it's got to be in order to try to do something, give Hillary some help in the election. And even that isn't enough. I mean, Hillary had as many advantages you could have, you know, to run for president with, except for one small disability, and that was the candidate. Everything else was running in her favor. The only thing that worked against her was her own personality and appearance, and I don't know, her history. Candidate. That was the only thing that was wrong. It could have taken the election except for the candidate. So,
well, Hollande over in France, he is warning that Le Pen, Marine Le Pen, could actually win in France.
Yeah.
So, you know, she wins. I mean, there's a lot of things I believe that are going to unravel this year. And of course, she wins. First thing she said she was going to do is pull France out of the European Union and go back to their currency. And so, you know, what she says and what she'll be allowed to do, or
I understand,
again,
it's like
things.
Trump.
It's just like Mr. Trump.
Yeah, you can get yourself elected president, but Bill Clinton made the point 20 years ago, thereabouts. He said, you spend your life trying to get yourself elected president. And he said, you get there and you find out somebody else is pulling the strings. Words to that effect. And he found out that he wasn't you know, Trump is the president of the United States, but there are bureaucrats and bureaucracies and people in positions of lower positions of power, but nevertheless in a position to just keep throwing sand in the gears of whatever machine Trump thought he was going to inherit. And it doesn't just work where you get elected to that office and everyone does what you say. Some people do, and some people say they're going to do it, but they don't. And you have to fight that resistance. And it's got to be, in Trump's situation, from my perspective, I think Trump's under an enormous amount of stress because he doesn't command the loyalty of everybody that's in the government. I think Trump expects loyalty from his people. I think he's probably had it most of the time within his corporate enterprise. He demands loyalty. He thinks he can get loyalty. He thinks he can give loyalty. And if you cross him, he'll fire you. But now he's dealing with a bunch of people who are not loyal to him.
There's no loyalty in politics.
Well, I understand, but that's got to be.
And I think
everybody know that. That can't be a surprise to Trump, but he's got to have known coming in. But still, the magnitude of the disloyalty has got to be frustrating for him.
I think if some of these reports are only a fraction true, and, you know, he is, you know, yelling at his and arguing and with his senior advisors, it means that he got angry.
Yeah.
And that's what he needed to do. And I don't think he was really angry up until this point. And because I know with Sessions, with him being recusing himself, Trump didn't even know. And I think that just what really started everything. And I think now that Trump is I think he's fired up now. And I think you will see things change. You know, and I think when he first went in there, you know, he thought, you're right, that he had the loyalty of his close advisors.
He could expect
and friends,
that loyalty, and it's,
you know,
not getting it.
And he trusted it. He was a little naive in trusting that and so forth. And he's learning. And I think him showing some sort of anger and getting on is a good sign. It's a good sign because that means he's going to not allow it to happen. So,
well, we'll see whether it's a good sign or not. I mean, when you start losing control, it may be a good sign that you're becoming aggressive, or it may be a sign that you are losing control.
I wouldn't see him yet as a sign of a losing control.
I agree.
I agree.
I'd say it's premature to say that he's losing control, but it's not premature to consider the possibility.
I think if
maybe this is a bad sign.
I think if he thought he lost control, I'd see him walk away. Say, take this.
No, I understand.
Here, Pence. Yeah. Here, Vice President.
You try.
I'm
done. You think you're so smart? You try to be president.
I don't need this crap. So.
You know, this is going to be the kind of thing everybody would go, you got to be a little crazy to be president of the United States.
I would love to be president for a day, maybe two. That's all.
Well, it depends on.
I love the history.
How long do you have to be president to collect the pension?
Yeah.
All right. If you had to be president for, all right, for a week before I get the pension. Okay, I'll go for a week. I can do it for a week.
And when you leave, you get a book signing of $60 million.
All right, exactly.
Okay.
Get a nice parade.
Who in the heck would want to read anything about Obama for $60 million?
Yeah, it really is. It is astonishing that a publishing house is giving Obama a $60 million book deal.
What kind of makes
sense? They've got to take that out of their profits. That's not just the cost of the book, it's the profits. And what is he going to talk about? I guess you have to assume, you know, from my perspective, Obama is not going to tell anything that's worth reading and listening to. And that would be true for most people at the conservative end, and the right end, the right extremists, blah, blah, blah. The people, you know, they're going to think, oh, Obama's got nothing. He's not going to say anything. He's not going to tell the truth. That's for sure. It'll just be some self-serving crapola. But people on the other end of the political spectrum, on the left, are going to say, yay, our hero is going to write a book and we'll be able to read it. And he'll be able to explain how he saved the world And like Al Gore, he didn't invent the internet, but he came close to inventing the internet, and I don't know what else besides that. And he won the Nobel Peace Prize, and he's probably one of the most warlike presidents we've ever had. How many wars have we been in? How many battles have we been in while the guy who won the Nobel Peace Prize is the president of the United States? It'll be good PR for the left. It'll be regarded as rubbish by the right. Will the left buy enough copies of Obama's book to generate an extra $60 million in profit for the publishing house?
Well, if there's 60 million Democrats, they'll all buy it.
No, they won't. They'll steal it. The Democrats, Melody, they don't pay for this kind of stuff. This is something that they believe they're entitled to receive.
So they can all have it in their office and impress everyone.
You don't even need the book. All you need is the book cover.
Well, Donald Trump today signed an executive order banning travel from 6 terror-tied countries. So he signed a new order blocking the arrival of most travelers from 6 conflict-prone countries for 90 days and freezing the inflow of refugees from any country for the next 120 days. So the new order shifts the task of stopping the refugees from officers at U.S. airports over to officials at U.S. embassies overseas. Let's see if there's any juicy stuff. The order blocks document processing for would-be refugees from Sudan, Syria, Iran, Libya, Somalia, and Yemen. A 7th country, Iraq, was dropped from the list. This is what's funny. When Iraqi officials promised to upgrade their security checks. We promise we're going to upgrade our security checks.
Cross my heart and hope to die.
Cross my heart.
Yeah.
The order also cuts the annual inflow of refugees from 110,000 to 50,000 and orders federal officials to determine the law, allowing local communities, doesn't even make any say in where refugees are settled in the United States. So I guess they're trying to find out if some communities can say whether they want them or not, but that really hasn't been defined as yet. The new order.
Do you think most communities will be glad to get the refugees, or do you think they will reject them?
Well, your sanctuary cities and so forth will probably, your particular states and so forth. Any little war community who's starving, don't have enough taxes coming from their people, yeah, they need the money from the federal government. So
yeah, that's the thing. These guys are guaranteed additional income coming into your community. And some people say, I don't care if he's a Muslim terrorist. He's bringing money into the community. Bring him on down. Let's take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, there are a couple of layoffs today. Distributors, 2 months into Philadelphia's 1.5 cents per ounce soda tax. Distributors are reporting a 30 to 50% decline in sales and saying that hundreds of layoffs are coming. ShopRite told Philly.com that it will lay off 300 workers, while one of the largest distributors said it will have to slash 20% of its workforce. The soda tax comes on top of the existing 8% sales tax, adding $2.16 to the cost of a 12-pack of soda. The mayor said the companies are already... The mayor is saying the companies are greedy for passing the cost of the tax on to consumers instead of reducing their bottom lines. Well, Mr. Mayor, what do you expect them to do? Maybe you should reduce the taxes, not just on the soda, but on everything else. To have an 8% sales tax in Philly? I mean...
No, I understand. It's the pot calling the kettle black there. I mean, oh, they should take a cut... See, they're greedy because they don't take
they're
a
greedy.
Cut. We're not going to take a cut. We're the government. We're not going to reduce our taxes. Those people are they're crazy because they pass it on to the taxpayers. Well, who's going to pay for taxes? Who is ultimately going to pay for any tax anybody in government wants to employ? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
The taxpayers. Of course they're going to pay. That's what taxpayers are made for. Understand that's their job in life is to pay taxes. And I don't care how the government dresses them up and throws the tax on one thing or another and tries to pass it on to somebody, but the taxpayers are going to get it every time.
Taxpayers are going to get it. The consumer is going to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the biggest concern when we talk about tariffs and so forth. You know, it's going to be funneled down to the consumers. These multinational corporations, they're not going to take anything out of their back pockets. You know,
no, but the point is the idea behind the tariffs.
I get the idea, but we'll just see how it works.
Well, my point is the idea is to increase employment.
I get that.
Right. And you recognize, prices on imported goods are going to go up. But if that increase in prices causes some manufacturers to say, instead of building this product in China, let's build it here in Oklahoma or Nebraska or New York. All right. Well, in theory, that's going to be good. Even though prices might go up, it may still work to the benefit of the country if it increases employment. If employment increases more than the taxes, the tariff taxes on foreign goods, a lot of people are going to consider that's a winning situation.
And that's the biggest question there. Will wages, when you're considering a lot of these manufacturing plants being retooled for robots, will you have the wages to offset that? And, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but...
Well, it's a mess.
I think
it's
we have to control inflation, and you can't control inflation as long as we have a fiat currency. So basically, you have inflation working against you, too. So it's going to be very difficult to do that type of a balance when it comes to the wages and
but,
tariffs.
You know,
and I get the principle behind it.
Well, one of the things I assumed that when Obama was elected and he first took office, I don't recall what I said about it at the time clearly, but I'm going to guess that I was expecting he was going to supervise, he would preside over some sort of an economic collapse in this country. And he didn't really do that. We had the Great Recession, and he has not been able to do a really good job of trying to get rid of that recession. He did kind of it could have become a greater depression. That was at least in the cards. Didn't happen. And it's a lesson to me that even Trump, he has inherited an almost untenable situation. I don't see how he's going to do it, but you know, if Obama can do it, then if he can hold on for 4 or 8 years without having a really devastating collapse, then perhaps Trump can do the same thing. There are resources available, and despite all the frustration and confusion, still there's things that can be done, and maybe get to something like a happy ending regardless. I'm not going to bet on it. I don't see how it can be, but you have to admit they've been able to hold this Ponzi scheme together for decades. And you have to wonder, how much longer can they hold it together? I don't doubt it's going to blow up. But I'm not going to bet that it's going to blow up next week, that's for sure, and maybe not this year. I don't know.
If the recovery was real, then perhaps. But the recovery wasn't real.
I agree.
The recovery was created by corporate debt, by government debt, by consumer debt. And you had trillions of dollars from the Federal Reserve. I mean, everything has been so rigged just to keep the stock market happy, just to keep people happy, just to keep the retirement accounts high, just to keep Wall Street in business. That's what it was all about, to keep the bankers and Wall Street all in business. That's why I get so upset when you have this extreme wealth and so many of these multinational corporations and so forth. Do you really believe it's going to trickle down? Do you believe they have – we've talked about loyalty in the beginning of the program. Do you think they have any loyalty to this country or any loyalty to you as a worker? Heck no. Are you kidding me? The only thing they ever do is, you know, so they can make more and more and more. So, it is frustrating. And I'd like to think positive. I like to think that, yeah, you know what, if these things were in place, and then they would work if everything else was in balance.
If there was something else real that was happening, all right, if the price-to-earnings ratio was reasonable, if earnings were reasonable, if there was real growth, we could sit back and say, yeah, there's cause for optimism. But as things sit, what we have is Donald Trump's promises. I mean, the biggest motivating factor in the markets right now has been Mr. Trump and his promises that he's going to stimulate the economy one way or the other, bring back jobs, cut taxes. Everybody's getting excited about the possibilities, but this will not be easily done. He wants to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. Where's that money? At the same time, he wants to cut taxes on corporations and the middle class. Where's the money coming from for the infrastructure repairs? I mean, you can't spend more and also tax less. You know, we were talking about tariffs a moment ago on the program and how the tariff cost of the tariff is ultimately going to be imposed on the taxpayer. I guarantee you that whatever cost is associated with rebuilding our infrastructure is also going to be imposed on the taxpayer. Now, they may rig it where it doesn't actually hit until it's your children or your grandchildren who have to pay the price, but nevertheless, the taxpayers are going to pay for all of these grand programs, and sooner or later, they're not going to want to pay for them. They're going to realize, wait a second, this is taking food off my table. I'm trying to feed my family, and I don't want to pay more money in taxes. It's just, we are at a difficult, difficult position. This is, we are between the rock and the hard place, classic, you know, metaphor. But it really is a lot like that. Where do you turn to get out of this mess? I mean, all you can seemingly do right now is just keep kicking the can down the road a little further, maybe. But I don't even know that people, not many people use the kicking the can analogy anymore. It was popular a couple of years ago. Nobody's talking about it lately, but what else can they do but try to just kick the can and buy time and hope something will turn up? instead of a black swan, maybe we'll get a white swan. Right? Everybody's talking about a black swan event that'll destroy. Who knows? Maybe we get a white swan before this is all over. Maybe we find a mountain of gold in Chicago. And you can, if you just know where to dig, there's tons and tons and tons and tons of gold, and all of a sudden the country is suddenly flush with real wealth, with real money again. I'm not predicting that, of course. But maybe there's a white swan event that could change things, but nobody sees it that I'm aware of. Everything seems to be just heading toward and moving faster all the time and headed for something that's not likely to be pleasant. Unemployment is rising, you know. Inflation is coming. Where's the silver lining in this cloud? Anybody know?
It's called gold and silver. It's a silver lining. South Asia to protect your purchasing power. General Motors, they announced that they're going to lay off 1,100 people at its Lansing Delta Township assembly plant. When it cuts to a third shift in May, the plant will experience a shift reduction as it phases out production of the first generation GMC Acadia in May. The new generation is currently made in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Workers were given a 60-day notice. That plant employs roughly 3,200 hourly workers and 250 salaried workers. Let's see if there's any other interesting information. They said the layoffs were expected. This was a major vehicle change. They think it's going to be for a short time. And it goes on and on and on. But again, here you're having 1,100 people laid off. In January, GM cut the third shift at the Lansing Grand River Assembly as car sales declined due to the popularity of trucks and SUVs. Initially, up to as many as 832 people could have been laid off. The final number was 500. So a little bit of pressure coming out of GM. ESPN. It's been widely understood for a while that they're going to be laying off people in 2017. This was reported by Sports Illustrated. They have significant cost cutting over the next 4 months on its talent side. Multiple sources said ESPN had been tasked with paring tens of millions of staff salary from its payroll, including staffers, many viewers, readers, are going to recognize. Their cuts are expected to be done by June. But they're losing, they're paying, ESPN is paying $3.3 billion annually just to broadcast the NFL and NBA. $3.3 billion.
It hasn't worked out real well in the last, the NFL lost viewers this last year, this last season. The NBA has been losing for some time. They need another, Michael Jordan, it was peaking then. I think since then they haven't done as well as they would. I mean, nobody ever does as well as they hope, but they've had problems. In a sense, people are kind of losing interest a little bit in athletics. And ESPN, primarily athletics, and they're having a problem.
Yeah, so
they need to start talking about. They need to change it from Sports Network to Hackers Network.
But they, the ESPN, is losing about $1 billion annually, and it is unsustainable. So,
what a surprise! You know, you're losing $1 billion a year, and someone has to write that it's unsustainable.
It
just tells you what kind of a world we're in, where it is. Of course it's unsustainable.
I know. Yeah. The loss of 12 million subscribers over 5 years is mostly due to generalized cord cutting. Yeah. So they lost 12 million subscribers. Yeah, people don't want to subscribe anymore and pay. That's it. You know, people don't want to pay the premiums anymore. They can go someplace else and watch it for free. So why
That's
pay?
Why they have saloons and sports bars, Melody.
AT&T. Here's good news. They're going to bring back 3,000 offshore jobs. AT&T has reached a tentative settlement with the Communications Workers of America over the 20,000 people the telecom employs in its southwest region. Among the concessions AT&T made was that it would bring back 3,000 jobs, most of which are overseas. So they reached this agreement with the Communication Workers of America. It's a tentative four-year settlement that provides pay raises, paid parental leave, affordable health care, and enhanced benefits for the 20,000 AT&T workers in Arkansas, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. So for those of you who have AT&T, expect your rates to go high.
And for those of you who have anyone else and you don't expect your rates to go higher, well, you need to rethink that probably, because ultimately everything's going higher. We're going to have inflation.
But the question is, AT&T made this agreement, but we also know that it's merging with Warner, Time Warner. So we'll see how many, once the deal is done and so forth, how many jobs overall will be lost. So again, they're able to bring jobs back, but you never get a clear answer anymore exactly where. But good news there, 3,000 from overseas, pay raises in the world grand, and the consumer will pay.
Yep. What have I got here? Here's one for CNBC. Gold and silver are a gift right now, strategist says, and this is from CNBC. It says, while the prospect of a Federal Reserve interest rate hike sent gold lower on Friday, strategist David Tice told CNBC that he's a big believer in the precious metal. He also likes silver and especially gold and silver stocks. They really represent a gift here. In other words, he's saying, look, these are seriously underpriced. He goes on, he says, gold is highly sensitive to rising U.S. interest rates because they increase the opportunity cost of holding non-yielding bullion while boosting the dollar, which it is, in which it is priced. I'm not even certain I understand what he's saying there. Complex sentence. So many words in that sentence. That's one of the things. Sometimes your sentences get so long, they become incomprehensible. It's only 28 words. That's nothing compared to the government. I've seen sentences reading law that'll run 150 to 200 words in a single sentence. Good God. And I know every time I see them, they're out to conceal something. But in any case, what he seems to be saying is rising interest rates imply that there's also going to be rising inflation, which should be good for gold. The U.S. dollar can still be relatively strong, and gold can beat it, particularly because President Trump has already indicated he doesn't want the dollar to get much stronger. He's saying that gold may do well even though the dollar is relatively strong, and he's saying, look, right now gold and silver are a gift. Take advantage. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We have a special on 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagles today, and they're pretty much priced at the 1 ounce. Usually, as you go lower in the denomination, the more you're going to pay. Half ounce is not that small of a coin. So you have a 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagle we have on sale today. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the price on that today is $650. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. There's only two things I want to say real quick. Number one, we had North Korea this weekend. They did another missile that got close to Japan. And it is really kind of funny because no one really cares. Gold's not responding. Markets aren't responding. And I actually heard commentary saying, well, we're just going to wait until they have the intercontinental missiles, ballistic missiles. Once they shoot one of them, then we're going to get
landed off the coast of L.A.
Yeah, then we'll get a little excited about it. But it really is, I mean, if this was just, you know, 16 years ago, 10 years ago, if they would be shooting off these missiles as often as they are, markets would just, they would have melted and gold would have gone skyrocketing. And right prior to the program, I was watching CNBC and they had, I really wasn't paying much attention to them. I was working on some trades and it showed the five major concerns investors had for 2016. And it was, you know, the usual stuff, you know, Asia, China, Russia, you know, that type of thing. But number five was pandemic.
Pandemic?
Pandemic. And I thought, what? Well, that hasn't crossed my my desk of late. But yeah, it's pandemic. And I thought that was interesting.
When they talk about investors, are they talking about only American investors, or are they talking investors around the world?
Oh, they were talking about, like I said, I really didn't pay much attention to where the report came from and so forth as I was working on some trades. And I just saw it, you know, up on the screen, and I thought, pandemic. Although, in Tennessee, there was bird flu and that has recently been announced and so forth. And, of course, they say, oh, no need to worry. Well, yeah, I do. But I just thought that was interesting. Pandemic.
I can understand why people in China might be concerned about the threat of a pandemic, or the people in Japan might be concerned about the threat of a pandemic. But here in the United States,
it wasn't geared to just, you know, that particular area. No.
Well, I don't know.
So I just thought it was interesting. It was interesting.
Interesting.
Pandemic. But anyway, Al.
An article here from Judicial Watch, which is interesting to me for a reason. And the headline is, U.S. gives Soros groups millions to destabilize Macedonia's conservative government. Now, one of the things that's amazed me is that George Soros, allegedly one of, if not the world's most wealthy man, one of them at least, billionaire, multi-billionaire, he has meddled in the politics of Europe. He has meddled in the geopolitics of Russia. Russia has put out a warrant for his arrest, if I understand correctly. If he steps foot anywhere, comes close to Russia, if he gets in there, they're going to grab him. Right? They're angry at him. He has allegedly handed out money for demonstrators during the most recent presidential election. And demonstrators, not really to hold a sign, but to actually perform violent acts. And everything you can read about this guy, everything I've been able to read about him, I haven't made a study of it, but just the same, he's around, you hear about him, indicates he is hugely un-American. And he's not born American. He's Hungarian, if I understand correctly. Maybe Romanian,
yes,
but I think
he's Hungarian.
Hungarian, yeah. All right. But he is out to get the United States, given the opportunity. And I have wondered for at least a year, why didn't somebody shoot that man?
Well.
Right? I mean, this guy is an arch villain of the sort you see in James Bond movies.
He's protected by the devil, Al.
Well, this story is from Judicial Watch is interesting to me because it indicates maybe he's not the enemy that everybody supposed. It says the U.S. government has quietly spent millions of taxpayer dollars to destabilize the democratically elected center-right government in Macedonia by colluding with left-wing billionaire philanthropist George Soros. According to records obtained by Judicial Watch, Barack Obama's U.S. ambassador to Macedonia, Jess L. Bailey, has worked behind the scenes with Soros Open Society Foundation to fund large sums of American dollars for the cause, constituting an interference of the U.S. ambassador in domestic political affairs in violation of the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations. Now, there's more going on here, but the point is, Soros is in bed with the U.S. government. Now I understand why somebody hasn't popped him.
Well...
Right? Or at least I begin to. I begin to see, this doesn't clarify things exactly. I mean, it offers a little bit of evidence. Say, oh, I get that now. Maybe he's working with the CIA or whoever. And that explains why he's been allowed to do what he's done. I don't know what to make of it. I don't understand it any more clearly than I did recently. I just have a few more facts that suggest there's a certain... But why is that man allowed to interfere in American elections? Why is he allowed to hire demonstrators to reportedly engage in violent acts, trying to precipitate violence during the election? I mean, if I were president, I guarantee you there'd be something done about that. Unless, of course, it turns out that George is working with the government, at least the Obama administration.
Well,
it's all just confusing to me, and it's disappointing. And where is clarity? You know, I would like to know who the good guys are. I'd like to know who the bad guys are so I could make an intelligent choice between them. And it appears that the good guys are working with the bad guys, and the bad guys are working with the good guys, and it becomes almost impossible to figure out who is the real bad guy, who is the real good guy. Lots of people claim to be
Kissinger,
good.
Not Kissinger, but Soros was always a bad guy. I mean, he's one of the elite. I mean, it's the same thing with Kissinger. You can go off, you can warn, they're all the elite, Al. They're the ones who can do a lot of the controlling. There's the wealth. He's destroyed numerous countries, and he makes fortunes off of it. He makes fortunes off the destruction of countries. He goes into these countries. He did it to England, and it's the same thing. He takes his money. He sets it. He destroys. He's destroyed numerous countries. So,
but now the question is, did he destroy those countries simply because he is a greedy, overly ambitious individual, maybe a psychopath, or did he destroy those countries because he's associated with government? Say, hey, go get them. Get rid of that country over there. Bump that one. Give them some trouble. I mean, it is
probably
very difficult
both,
to understand
Al.
Motives. Pardon me?
Both.
Yeah, that's probably correct. Both.
I don't know. See, that answer is more correct.
Mm-hmm. It's like taking a math test. 2 + 2, does it equal 3 or 5?
No.
How much is 2 + 2?
It won't work there.
Both. A, B, C, D, and both.
No.
All right? We need two answers on there.
But no. And, you know, and, you know, it's just, and it is disturbing. It's frustrating. And you see these organizations and, you know, and supposedly, You know, he gets involved in these groups. He funnels money into these groups. I'm not going to say he pays them individually, but he funnels the money into the groups to so they can have the money to organize and demonstrate. This weekend was one of the, you know, first really big clashes between Trump supporters and anti-Trump supporters. So now we are getting, you know, it's you know, ratchet up another, you know, level of disturbance across this country. And
how soon before snipers start to appear?
Well, I don't want to, you know, give anybody, you know, I don't.
And the ideas are already out there and
well,
that
you know,
sort
that's
of thing.
Fine.
I mean, the only people who don't understand the idea
out
that
there
people
on
wouldn't
the program.
Do it.
You know,
well,
so.
regardless, what I'm getting to is there's going to be another demonstration either for Trump or against Trump in the near future. It's going to happen. There's going to be somebody who's going to do something crazy. All right? And what happens once that craziness breaks loose? I mean, we are coming into a time, again, this is evidence of a growing instability in this country. The whole response that we're seeing from the left in regards of Trump being in the White House is disturbing. It's almost, it seems self-destructive for the left, but they don't seem to mind, and they're doing it anyway. And I can't, who is pulling their chains? Is this Soros or somebody like Soros or the CIA or the NSA or Barack Obama? Who's pulling their strings? Why are they doing this? We have a new president. I mean, in the past, you know, I might not see the president I want get into office, but I didn't remain so angry about it that I was ready to riot, you know, for months after he's elected. There's something that's sustaining the animosity. There's something that's sustaining the polarization. And it didn't happen when George W. Bush was elected. And it didn't happen when Barack Obama was elected or even elected twice. You know, there's people like myself. I didn't like Obama. I didn't like George W. Bush. Not after a while. But still, the level of animosity, I never felt that it was the same under Bush and under Barack Obama that we see under Trump. It's evidence of polarization. It's evidence of a kind of energy that is stored up in the body politic right now. And depending on how it breaks loose, you know, it could be very difficult. We might see some real trouble. Now, are we going to? I don't know. I'm not making a prediction, but I am observing that the potential for that trouble seems greater to me than at any time. When was the last time? Nixon? Did we see? I mean, during the Vietnam War, we had great animosity in the streets. We had great polarization. We'd have to go back to the Vietnam War, probably, to find evidence of national polarization and division that was at least as great as what we see right now and arguably greater during the Vietnam War. But still, it's something. I don't understand what's happening here. And it does not, it's another one of those signs, this place is unstable. You know, you need to be prepared because you keep getting these signs, and sooner or later somebody's going to do something crazy, or something is going to happen by accident that is completely unpredictable or unpredicted and destabilizing, and all of a sudden this whole thing could sink. Is it going to happen? Don't know. But certainly you look around, I doubt that there's anyone in the audience that would. They may not necessarily want to hear that line of conjecture, but I don't think anybody's going to say, no, that's not true. Everything's sound, everything's stable, everything's going good right now, and we can expect a happy ending. I don't think so. And again, if that's correct, you have to do what you got to do to protect yourself. You're going to have to take whatever steps you think are appropriate to be prepared for what may be coming, what might be coming. You know, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you agree that, oops, this might be a dangerous time, might be time to get ready. You know, if you think that's true, then it's up to you to do something about it. Find whatever you think you're going to need to get through what may be a difficult time. and try to acquire as much of that as you possibly can if you think it'll help you in the event that the Ponzi scheme collapses, and it's going to. I don't think anybody can look at the system and say, oh yeah, this thing will last another 20 or 50 or 100 years. There's going to be a major disruption. And the question is when.
When you watch some of these news programs and you have these TV analysts or whatever you want to call them, idiots, crying, oh, we're in such all over the White House and Trump. I mean, it's just, I just can't believe these people are reacting in the manner to which they are. It almost makes me think, I mean, it's almost like they're nuts.
Where did they find these people? Like, are they all illegal aliens? I understand.
I mean, even
have they
Mika,
been beamed down?
Mika Brzezinski. Well, we all know, you know, the Brzezinski name and so forth. And she's there, oh, it's terrible out there. I've never, ever seen. This is really bad. Just for the record, we are all really nervous. And I mean, she's saying this with this look on her face, like, and I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? You're supposed to be a news reporter.
I understand. That's the other thing. You can't even get... Yeah, that's another subject that we're going to have to leave until tomorrow because
amazing.
We're out of time. Even trying to get honest information is difficult in this environment. We're going to take the rest of the day off.
I'll be back
tomorrow.
We're still here.
Well, the office is open, but the radio program is closed down. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Payment sad. And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.